Okay, welcome everybody. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Welcome to the nightly shiur. Tonight's parsha is Parshas Noach, and what I'd like to try to correlate or discuss is the relationship between Noach, Moshe, and Yosef. It says that the question that we have to face is that it says Noach is tzaddik kanimah yabedoroso v'sulakimis alech Noach, that Noach was a tzaddik. And he was Tumim, and he was his halchus. His whole path was one of consistency with Midas Hadin, with strict judgment. And yet, despite all this, he was unable to stop the flood from happening. Rashi tells us that he was a mamin beino mamin. What does that exactly mean? What does it mean that he was a believer but not a believer? And so it means is that when the rains began to fall, he didn't really think that the rains would overcome the world. It would just come down as it did, Gishrei Bracha. So in a way, he was correct. But since the people did not do tshuva, then the rain turned into something really hot, scorched earth policy that God invoked at the time. And it's possible the people died before being overwhelmed by the water itself. That actually is a debate. But what we learn from Noach is that the failures of Noach and the successes are ones that we actually can internalize. We actually have some relationship to Noach too. And that is that sometimes we fail to understand what exactly the definition of a tzaddik is. So for the next moment or two, I'd like to define what a tzaddik is. And then see the correlation between Noach, Moshe, Yosef, and some even would suggest Mordechai, who's also referred to as a tzaddik. Number one, there are two elements. Number one, is that a tzaddik is somebody who's mafanes other people. He gives other people to eat. Now, the truth is, we can say that we all do this. Every time we invite someone over to our home for dinner, for Shabbos, for any time, we're practicing an act of tzidkus. If we're not able to do this for whatever reason, we give to organizations that do provide food for a Shabbos table. Then that too is an act of tzidkus. So we see that Noah sustained as an act of giving over food. He not only fed the people on the teva, but all of the livestock as well. So he fed the entire world. Moshe Rabbeinu did the same thing with the man and the slav. In the same way that the Jewish people benefited, the world benefited by having Moshe Rabbeinu present during their existence. And Yosef HaTzadik did the same, by not only feeding his brothers and immediate family, and his father, of course, but also all of Mitzrayim, which represents the world. So that was number one. Number two is that you have to be shomer arayos. You have to be careful when it comes to practicing fidelity. So Noach was one who practiced fidelity because it says v'aretz melechamas, that the world was saturated with corruption. And the corruption was that there was infidelity between man and his spouse, man and obviously the animals, and everything was corrupted. So that's where we get all these strange things like unicorn with these hybrid animals, because the animals themselves were not within their own species. So that's actually an interesting discussion with the raven, who turns to Moshe, who turns to Noach and says, your God hates me and you hate me. You hate me because you're sending me out of this teva. God hates me because by allowing you to send me out, it's possible my wings might be scorched as a result of the temperature of the sun, and then I'll be lost. So that's the reason why God hates me, because I might be open to punishment. And you just want to be with my spouse. So this is a very powerful medrash, and Noach was about to curse the raven, but Hashem intervened and said, "Don't curse the raven because the raven has a positive element to it that we will only find out in generations to come. And the Medrash brings down that when King Ahav was looking for Eliyahu HaNavi to kill him, Eliyahu ran into a cave and there wasn't any food over there. Now, clearly God could have created food for Eliyahu HaNavi, but instead he allowed the raven to take meat off the table of the king and bring it all the way into the Ma'ara, into the cave where Eliyahu was hiding. And when Eliyahu HaNavi saw that the raven was practicing an act of kindness, which by its very nature is very uncommon, because it's a mischievous bird, it's not a friendly bird, it disables its prey by removing its eyes, and goes about dismembering the prey. It is carrion, it steals food, so it's not a very docile bird, like a dove, which is the total opposite of a raven. So when Eliyahu HaNavi had the choice to then, the following morning, as we all know, to chastise the Jewish people, he did so with a tempered tongue, such that it was more palatable for the people to digest, and the people ended up doing tshuva as a result. And the Maharal Prague says that this is how we learn the correlation between the raven and the dove. But there's a second correlation, and that's actually very interesting, that the raven was searching for Yevoshes. It was searching for dry land. Interesting, if you take the word Yevoshes and you spell it backwards, you get Tishbi. And Tishbi, Tavshin Beis Yud, is a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi. Eliyahu, the prophet, Eliyahu, the savior, the Tishbi. And so this refers to this unique correlation between the raven and Eliyahu HaNavi, who was sustained as a result of this raven. And as the raven, that's the raven that that saved Eliyahu HaNavi. So the second is the definition of water by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is named because of water, ki min hamayim mishisiyu, not by his parents, but by Batya, because you were saved through water. The second or middle part of Moshe Rabbeinu's life was the Kriyas Yam Suf at age 80, and at the tail end was the Me Meriva, also with water. The waters of disagreement or the waters of malcontent, that the people complained that we need water. And so Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of speaking to the rock, hit the rock, and that's the reason why he wasn't able to enter Eretz Yisrael, and his life soon ended there, shortly thereafter. And the third is Yosef, where we see that Yosef is the paradigm of both morality as well as a defining moment with water as well. That it says, Vayanas Yetzei Achutza, by the story of Eishes Potiphar, and that he ran outside. So the Medrash says, Ma Rav Vayanos, what did the sea see that made it split? Aron HaShel Yosef, the bones of Yosef. It's true, you had Moshe and the Shiftekar, all the leaders of the tribes were present, but it was only because of the bones of Yosef. So what was it so special about the bones of Yosef? And what does that signify? What does that mean? That the Kli Yaakov brings down that why did Hashem punish the Egyptians with water? There were so many other mechanisms at his disposal. And the answer is that water is the punishment for somebody who practices infidelity and drowning. Lo leinu nolei sheva nofamis. So that's one of the Avraham Nisus Bezdin. So since in every Jewish household there was only one firstborn, whereas in every Egyptian home there were five firstborns out of six kids, so that clearly indicates that there was infidelity going on over there. So the very water that saved the Jewish people, because bones of Yosef were with the Jewish people, that's the very water that also caused the destruction of the Egyptians, because they were under the also this realm of Avraham Nisus Bezdin. They are the ones who also got punished as a result of their practicing infidelity. And so there we have the correlation between Noach, it says, B'dorosav, Bedor Sarv refers to his generations, not Bedoro. And that's the drash that we're explaining tonight, that it wasn't simply Moshe. It wasn't simply Noach. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu had to come back and be a Gilgal for Noach, because as the Pasuk says, and I will establish a new covenant with you, Vakivosius Prisi Tach, Noach says nothing, and the sound of the silence is deafening. But when Moshe is told the same message, he turns to Hashem and says, Mechina Mistificha Shekha Sapta, erasing from the holy book that you have written. There's another interpretation of Mechini Na Mistificha Shekha Sapta. Mechini is the same letters as Me Noach. Mem Ches Nun Yud is also Mem Yud Nun Ches. That remember, God, you said that you were never going to destroy the world again as a result of the people not doing what they should be doing and violating your commands and edicts, and yet you promised that you were never going to destroy the world. So Mechini, remember the Me Noach, remember those waters that you promised. Na, ein na, Elisha Makasha says the Gemara Brachos, that the word na is a language of supplication before God, that it's the highest form of supplication. It's begging, literally. Misifacha, the very Torah that you wrote, Ashekasafta, that you wrote, this is what you wrote inside your Torah, that you're not going to destroy the world. So although you're offering me the opportunity to establish a new world order with me and my children, I'm kindly requesting that you reconsider, because we could recall that Noach is my predecessor, who I'm the Gilgal of. When he came off the Teva, he cried, and Hashem said, you know, if only you would have cried like this beforehand, I never would have destroyed the world. And that's the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu cries out to Hashem with his words, and that's why Hashem answers, Vayom Hashem Salachti Kivaracha, I forgive according to your word, because I'm looking for you to create a relationship with me. And this is the reason why Noah falls so closely right after Yom Adin, right after Yom Kippur, right after Judgment Day, to remind us that it wasn't too long ago that we were fearful of Yom Adin, and we were fortunate that the Kisei HaDin was replaced with the Kisei HaRachamim, and that's what we most look forward to experiencing in life, that we should be able to be judged. If we have to be judged, we should be judged favorably with Rachman, with mercy and benevolence. And in Netzchus, we can learn so much from Noach. There's so much to learn. There's so much to understand about Noach. Metzorah Tasla Teva, he's a Mamin Vein a Mamin. He was a Tzadik Gozer, Kosh Baruch Hu Mekayem. He did not see in himself the potential for change, that he can impact others positively. And yet we see that that's the failure. The success is that we are able to learn from that failure and hopefully be a beacon of light onto others. Mordechai Plotzker wishing you the very best, and to always to excel and to see that you have tremendous kochos and strengths, and to try to maximize them and influence people for the better, so that we can create a better world than we have right now. Thank you.